There's several Gemaras in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that take it for granted that we know certain astronomical facts that are happening simultaneously in the sky. I'm going to try to explain some of them, and with that we'll have a better understanding of the Gemaras. Now, there's a concept of a year. Everyone knows a year is one revolution of the Earth around the Sun. However, being there no signs in space of when you completed a year, we're going to have to make some indication, somehow measure when we've completed one circle, because on a circle there's no beginning and no end. So how do we know when the year is complete? There are a few ways of measuring the year. We'll have the Earth start here. It goes around the Sun and gets back to the same place. How do we know it reached the same place where it started from? Well, there is actually some sign in space. It's called the stars. The stars are considered a fixed entity in space. So we can measure the stars that are in the background of the orbit of the Earth around the Sun. There are stars all over the celestial sphere, some above that, the plane of the orbit of the Sun, some below, and some that are aligned with the plane of the orbit of the Earth around the Sun. The main stars that we're concerned with in the Gemara are the 12 groups that are aligned within this orbit of the Earth around the Sun. They are called the Galgal HaMazalot. Each group of stars is very distant from the orbit of the Earth around the Sun, but each group is approximately 30 degrees of the orbit, making a total of 360 degrees, a full circle. So, as the Earth travels around the Sun, it gives the appearance of the Sun being in a different group of stars every month. So those groups of stars are the mazel of the month, the group that the Sun is in. Why is that considered to be the mazel of the month? Because it's the one that rises in the morning with the Sun. That's the beginning of the day. So if the Earth is here, the Sun is in mazel tlet. It will not be seen during that month because it's behind the Sun. And it only is in the sky during the day, and the Sun, the brightness of the Sun, obstructs the view of the mazel that is shown in that month. So even though Mazal Tleh is in the sky, but no one will see it during the month that it is Shoret in Nisan. And the same with Shor the next month. Every month, a different Mazal is Shoret. It rises with the Sun and sets with the Sun, because it's in the sky in the same position as the Sun. In the Galgal HaMazalot. That's one way of measuring a year. When the Earth makes a full rotation around the Sun, a full revolution, and gets to the same spot that it started in the stars, most diamondback and Tleh with the Sun. That would be one way of measuring a year. That's called the sidereal year of the star. A second way of measuring a year is measuring the distance of the Sun is from the Earth. The orbit of the Earth around the Sun is not quite circular, it's elliptical, with all the planetary orbits. The elliptical orbit means that at one point we'll be closest to the Sun and one point furthest from the Sun. So if you measure from when we're furthest from the Sun till the next year, when we're again that same distance, the furthest distance that we get from the Sun, that's another way of measuring that we've completed one revolution around the Sun. That the Rambam refers to as Makom Goyva HaShemesh, the place where the Sun is highest from the Earth. That's the second way of measuring a yearly cycle. This has certain effects on the apparent motion of the Sun through the Galgal HaMazalot. Because as the Earth orbits in its elliptical orbit, it changes speed. Its actual speed changes and its apparent speed changes. The actual speed changes because as it gets closer to the Sun, the gravitational pull is stronger, and the Sun pulls it around in its orbit and then thrusts it out again at a greater speed than when it's far from the Sun. So as it's orbiting at perihelion, when it's close to the Sun, it's moving faster than when it's far from the Sun, at aphelion. in addition to the fact that it's actually moving faster, its apparent motion is actually faster also, because the same distance on the circle on the orbit will subtend a greater angle from the observer. Anything that's close to somebody seems to have more angular view. It takes a greater angular portion of the person's view than something that's far away. The distance creates an effect that it appears to be moving faster. So as the Earth is over here far from the Sun, so even though it's moving the same amount along the circle, it appears that the Sun moved less. Whereas if it's over here, when it's close to the Sun, and moving that same distance, it appears that the Sun moved more through the stars. That's the second way of measuring a year. A third way of measuring a year has to do with the fact that the Earth itself is at an angle in its orbit. The Earth doesn't orbit straight when it's going around the Sun, it's at an angle. That's why the globes are built like this, at an angle, 23.5 degrees approximately. So as it's going around the Sun, a different portion of the Earth will be facing towards the Sun directly. If we put the Sun over here, so as the Earth, the northern hemisphere points towards the Sun, that creates the summer for the northern hemisphere and the winter for the southern hemisphere. After a quarter of a cycle, then it will then be Tkufas Nisan, Tkufas Tishrei, as the Sun is going down across the equator, when it's the Sun is directly above the equator. Another quarter of a year later, the Earth will then be in the position where the South Pole is tilted toward the Sun. That they have their summer, and we have our winter. That's Tkufas Teves. A quarter of a year after that, the Earth will have come back. The Sun is now on the equator directly, headed north, creating Tkufas Nisan. So those are the four Tkufas. That's a tropical year. It has to do with, that's what our seasons are measured on, and that's the basis of our calendar today. The tropical year is slightly less than 365 and a quarter days. The other 2 years, the anomalistic year, is slightly more than 365 and a quarter days, just slightly. So the effect of that extra difference is why the Gregorian calendar takes out 3 leap years in the course of 400 years. Instead of having a leap year every 4 years, they have 97 leap years in 400 years instead of 100. That difference was known by Chazal already. The time of Ibn Ezra, he writes that our calendars are already 11 days off. We do Tkufas Shmuel, which is 365 and a quarter days exactly. And therefore the calendar is slightly off because of that, losing the three days in every 400 years. Those three ways to measure the orbit of the Earth around the Sun can also be used to measure the orbit of the Moon around the Earth. Make a picture of the Earth in the middle and the Moon circling. At one point in its orbit, the Moon will be closest to the Earth, and one point it will be furthest. So at the point where it's closest in its orbit, you can measure from month to month. At that point, it's moving fastest, and as the orbit of this Earth around the Sun has that, the Moon has that also. Another way of measuring the orbit of the Moon is relative to the stars in the background. You can watch when the Moon reaches the same group of stars that it was in last month. It's again a completion of a month. That's approximately 27 and a third days. The anomalistic, that's the sidereal month. The anomalistic month was actually 27 and a half days, a little bit more. The one where it gets to its closest point in its orbit, or its furthest point. Another way is measuring in relation to the tilt of the Earth. The Earth is tilted in space, so when the Moon gets the same point in relationship to its tilt of the Earth, that's a tropical month. If it's at the point where it's facing the North Pole most, then When you get to that same point again, that's a tropical month. That's a third way of measuring the month of the moon. Now, in addition to this, there are two more ways of measuring the month of the moon. As we mentioned before, the Earth orbits the Sun in a plane that we call the ecliptic. As it orbits the Sun, Earth is slightly tilted, and it orbits the Sun in the Galgala Mazalot. The ecliptic is what we refer to as the Galgala Mazalot, the plane of the stars in the background, and the Earth orbits it. Now the Moon does not follow exactly on that same line. Were the Moon to follow exactly that same path, there would be an eclipse twice a month. Once when the Moon would come in between the Sun and the Earth, it would cast its shadow on the Earth. And then again, at the full Moon, the shadow of the Earth would block the light of the Sun from reaching the Moon. That does not happen every month, because the orbit of the Moon is slightly inclined to the orbit of the ecliptic. It's inclined at a 5-degree inclination. So that sometimes it's further north or further south at the time where it of the Moilad. The Moilad is when the moon comes between the sun and the earth. So if it's not in direct light, if it's further south or further north, there will be no eclipse that month. And the same is true in opposition. There will be no lunar eclipse either. That's the fourth way of measuring a month. The Rambam refers to that as when it's at the Rosh, when the moon is going above the ecliptic, that's called the Rosh of the Hanim. It's where the Rosh he refers to it. And when it's going down below the ecliptic south, it's called Zanav. And the plane of the ecliptic shifts slightly every month, the plane of the orbit of the moon to the ecliptic. Now those are the four minor ways of measuring a month. They're all about 27 days, 27 and a half to 27 and a third. However, the main one that we're concerned with in Maseches Rosh Hashanah is the one that creates the Moilad. If all of these are 27 and a third day, why then is our month 29 and a half days? Well, it's true that the moon goes around the earth in 27 and a third days relative to the stars. But as it's going around the earth is also moving around the sun. Therefore, there'll be a difference at the end of the month that the moon will have to catch up to in order to come in between the sun and the earth again. In order to reach that point, it will have to catch up that distance. I'll draw this here. If we have the sun over here and the earth over here, and the moon is going around the earth. Now the moon makes a full circle in approximately 27 and a third days relative to the stars. But during that time, the earth has gone approximately 30 degrees relative to the sun. So the earth will no longer be here. It's moved over to here, taking the moon with it. So now the moon has only reached over here. In order to have a Moilad, it has to come in between the line of the earth and the sun. So it's going to take another 2 days to make up that difference. And that's the reason our months are 29 and a half days long on the average. Why is this only an average and not the same every month? Because the moon's speed varies. How does the moon's speed vary? As we mentioned earlier, there's a point of apogee and perigee, when the moon is close to the earth and when it's far from the earth. As the moon is far from the earth, it takes longer to go around. But it's close to the earth, it goes shorter. Now every month, the moon makes the entire circuit. However, at the end of the month, there's a small amount that it has to make up to compensate for the fact that the earth has moved around the sun. If that amount that it has to make up is near perigee, when the moon is close to the earth, it will do it quickly. And therefore the month may be slightly shorter than the previous month, than the average synodic month. And therefore the Moilad will be earlier. And that is the simplest shot in the Gemara, Pamim Shabbat, Baruka Pamim Shabbat Biksara. On that would be a short month that only has a small distance to make up, or it does it quickly, and therefore the Moilad will come earlier. And that's what the Gemara means on Chafei, Pamim Shabbat Biksara. Whereas if they, that's one way of understanding the Gemara there. There's a Gemara on Daf Daled that discusses cycle of the moon and the around and where you can find it on Rosh Chodesh when they test the Edom to see whether they're true or false Edom. The witnesses, they ask them, where did you see the moon? Was it north or south? So that means, was it north of the sun or south of the sun? Now the sun will only set in the west, because as the earth spins, it spins from east, from west to east, giving the effect that everything is setting, rising in the east and setting in the west. So the western horizon is where to look for the moon. After it passes in between the earth and the sun, it will then be slightly east of the sun. So put the sun over here. The moon comes along a path around the earth. So as the moon comes along this path, it passes the sun, and then that's the Molad, and then approximately a day later, it becomes visible in the sky. Now, this being the earth, the person who is standing here will see the moon slightly after sunset. As the earth spins this direction, the sun will set first in the distance, and then the moon will be slightly above the horizon. And then a thin crescent will be visible. Why only a thin crescent? Because the light side is what's facing the sun. The light side is facing the sun, dark side is facing earth, so nothing is seen at the moment. After it's distanced itself slightly, a thin crescent will be seen in the west. Like that. And depending on how much farther is from the sun, the larger the crescent. When it gets to be half a month, at the quarter of a month you'll see half the moon, and at the half month, the full moon will then be visible from Earth. So the larger the crescent, the easier it will be for the Edom to see it. So the more time after the Molad, it's easier to see the moon. Now we're concerned with where they see it on the horizon. That has to do with the inclination of the ecliptic to the Earth's orbit. The inclination of the ecliptic to the Earth's tilt in space. The ecliptic defines the Galgala Mazalot, Earth's orbit around the sun in space relative to the planets. And the celestial equator is what creates the setting and rising of all the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and all the stars. Because as the Earth spins, it appears that everything that's over here sets, and everything that's on this side rises to somebody standing over here. So that's all due to the spin of the earth, which is the definition that defines the equator and the poles. The poles are the axis on which the earth rotates, and the equator is what cuts it in half in that spin. So everything rises with the line of the equator and sets with the line of the equator, the same plane. For somebody standing on the equator, as the earth spins, the rotation of the earth is this direction. So everything will be, the earth spins that direction, so everything sets in the west. As the earth spins, everything else sets on the other side. Now somebody that's standing on the equator will see everything set directly horizontal to his line of vision. Directly vertical to the tangent that's drawn at the equator, on his horizon. The horizon is always tangent to his latitude. As somebody moves north of the equator, the angle that the horizon makes with the equator changes because it's drawn tangent to its latitude. So at about 32 degrees, approximately in Yerushalayim, it's approximately 32 degrees, the sun will set at more of an angle. It won't be perpendicular to the horizon, but rather at an angle. The moon will also set at an angle to the sun, to the horizon, because they all heavenly bodies set in line with the equator. So if we draw the sun here, if he sees it there in the sky, it won't set down here on the horizon, it will set at an angle to where he's standing. Effectively, he sees it coming down like this. This is his horizon, that's how he stands on the earth. And he sees the sun come down like that. Now the moon basically is in line with the sun along the ecliptic. It follows about the same path with a 5-degree inclination either to north or south of the ecliptic, but it's always close to the ecliptic. So since it's always close to the ecliptic, it also sets in about the same place as the sun set. However, since the ecliptic is at an angle to the equator, which makes these various seasons, the sun isn't always going to set in the same spot on the horizon. In the summer, it will be further north, as the sun is further north of the equator, so the sun will also set further north on the horizon, until the middle of the summer, when that's the farthest north it sets, June 22nd, that's the first day of summer, that's the summer solstice. After that, it starts heading back south on the horizon until it gets to the winter. At the winter solstice, it's the furthest south it gets on the horizon, and it continues its path north again till Kufin Sif Nisan, when it's directly in the middle, in the west. And that's the cycle of the sun. The moon follows the same cycle, basically, because it's also on the ecliptic. However, since the moon has passed the sun in order to create the Maylad, it comes in between the earth and the sun. After that, it's a day later, approximately 12 degrees from where the sun is, at least a minimum of 12 degrees, sometimes more, sometimes 15, 20 degrees, till the Adam are able to see it. So it's already passed where the sun is now. It's where the sun will only be in a week or two from now. Therefore, if it's after Tekufas Tevis, after Yimasa Geshamim, any time after Tevis, the moon should set further north than the sunset, because at that point the sun stops going south, it will start heading north again. If the sun will start heading north along the ecliptic, that means the moon, which precedes the sun, it's already going to be where the sun will be in 2 or 3 weeks from now, in 15 or 20 days. So the moon will already be further north along the ecliptic, and therefore set further north than the sun is setting now. The opposite is true in the summer. When Yimasa Chama, after the summer solstice, the sun has already achieved its most northern point along the ecliptic, and would set as far north as it gets on the horizon. The moon, which passed the sun already, it's where the sun will be in 2 weeks from now, 2 or 3 weeks from now. Therefore, it will set further south from the sun. That's what the Gemara means. Lo kasha kan b'yimasa chama, kan b'yimasa geshamim. That's the pshat, based on the Yerushalmi, that the Rabbeinu Hananel says, based on the Yerushalmi. There's an important Baal HaMor that explains the Gemaras on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. There are three Gemaras that are very difficult to explain. One is that you need a day and a night for the Chodesh. Laila, Yom B'Laila Min HaChodesh. You need a day and a night. So the Baal HaMor explains that very simply. You need a 24-hour period from after the Molad until the thin crescent of the moon is visible from Earth. At the Molad, no one can see it. It's too close to the sun. And at night, it's already set. By the time night comes, it's already set before it can be seen. After a day, after Yom B'Laila, then you could see the moon. That's one thing the Gemara says. It also says that Noilet Kodem Chatzos, it could be seen. Noilet La'achar Chatzos, it can't be seen. If the Noilet happened before Chatzos on that day, it could be seen. If the Noilet happens after Chatzos in the day, it cannot be seen that day, and therefore the next day is the earliest you can make Rosh Chodesh. So that seems to be a contradiction. Chatzos is only 6 hours before sunset. How would you be able to see it by that night if only 6 hours pass? He said you need 24 hours. So with this, the Baal HaMor has to introduce the concept of the round globe and the international dateline. The Baal HaMor's shita seems to be based on the fact that when Hashem made the sun, He made it in the middle of the day. He put on the sun in the middle of the sky, Chatzos, on Wednesday in Maaseh Bereishis. If it's Chatzos in the sky, then Chatzos in the sky will have Eretz Yisrael facing the sun at Chatzos, which means all of this half has already had their first day. All of this half has already had their first day. However, Japan, someplace in the Far East, we'll call it Japan for simplicity's sake, has not yet had any sun. The sun didn't rise yet. The sun will only rise for Japan 12 hours later, after the globe turns half a rotation. So, therefore, the end of the day, of the first day, doesn't happen till it ends for the people in Japan. Because they, for them, this day has not yet started. In the end of China, before the ocean, so as soon as they are already going to be seeing the sun at Shkia, shortly after the earth turns, the sun drops below the horizon, that's the end of their day. So therefore, they had the first day, but Japan did not. Japan only has it later. How much later? Well, it follows Eretz Yisrael 18 hours later is when their day will end. Eretz Yisrael will have the day for another 6 hours, and Japan will just be getting sunrise then. Their Shkia will only happen 18 hours after the Shkia in Eretz Yisrael. That being the case, if the Moled happened at Koidem Chatzos in Eretz Yisrael, that means Eretz Yisrael is here. The Moled that happened before Chatzos, so we have more than 6 hours till Shkia in Eretz Yisrael. So we have at least six hours till Shkia in Eretz Yisrael, plus another 18 hours until Shkia happens for the people in the Far East, in Japan. That gives a total of 24 hours, a total of 24 hours for someone in the world, someplace in the world, to have a possibility of seeing the new moon. That's the sheet of the Baal HaMor. Whereas if it happened after Chatzos, so even the people, the last people in the world, Japan, where the world, the day ends, will not be able to see the new moon that day. They'll have to wait till the next day, and therefore that day cannot be Rosh Chodesh. That's the sheet of the Baal HaMor. The Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph discusses the visibility of the moon to the people who are in the ocean. It says that if somebody is in a ship, the sailors in the ships, that don't know what day the 14th day of Nisan is to get rid of their chametz, they should look out on the ocean. If they see the moon setting at sunrise, then they know that that's the middle of the month, they have to get rid of their chametz. The lesson of the Gemara is, when you see the sun rising and the moon setting at the same time, you know you must get rid of your chametz. What the Gemara is there is talking about the phenomena of opposition. We mentioned the Moed is when the sun is between the moon is between the sun and the earth. The sun on one side, the earth on the other. The lit side facing the sun, the dark side facing the earth. Therefore, the moon is not visible to the people on earth. However, in the middle of the month, the opposite is true. The full moon is seen from Earth. The entire light side is facing the Earth, and the dark side is facing away from Earth. As the Earth turns, the people who will be having sunrise and sunset will be able to see both on the horizon at the same time. Because the people standing here where it's sunset, over here it's sunrise, they'll see the sun rising and the moon setting. And over here where it's sunset, they'll see the sun setting and the moon rising at the same time. That's an indication that the moon is halfway through its cycle, and therefore it's the 14th of the month. Now, nowadays, this usually happens on the 15th of the month. But as we mentioned earlier, when they were Mekadosh al Pi Riyah, when they were Mekadosh only after the moon becomes visible, they were usually Mekadosh, the first day of the month was the day after the Moilad. Not the day of the Moilad, but the day after. And that would be Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, the opposition was also a day before The 15th of the month is the day after opposition. Just like the first day of the month is the day after the mother, the 15th of the month is the day after opposition. So the 14th of the month was usually the day of the opposition in the times of Chazal. Now, opposition, it would seem, is the Soif Zvan Kiddush Levana. The Gemara says that Kiddush Levana could be made as long as the moon is... until the Pekima of the moon is filled. Now, when the moon starts at the beginning of the month, it looks something like that. There's a big missing part, the dark part. As the month progresses, more and more of the moon is visible until the full moon at the middle of the month. So that's the way we fasken, that the moon, the full moon, is the Sozman Kiddush Levana. Now it would seem, since after opposition the moon starts getting smaller again, we see less and less of it until all we see in the sky is the last quarter, the last bit of the moon. After opposition, one should no longer say Kiddush Levana. So, nowadays that we know true opposition, it's probably better not to rely on the average that's given 14 days and 3 quarters, but rather on the actual opposition. Why is this? Because the Beis Yosef himself, even though he says you can say Kiddush Levana till the 15th of the month, he says if there's an eclipse, then you can no longer say Kiddush Levana. Why not? Because an eclipse is an indication of true opposition. The sun is on one side, the earth in the middle, and the moon is on the opposite side. The earth blocks the sunlight from hitting the moon and casts its shadow on the moon. That's an indication of true opposition. After that, one can no longer say Kiddush Levana according to the Beis Yosef. And therefore, if we know that opposition happened, even though we didn't see an actual eclipse, it's kedai to be machmer to try to say Kiddush Levana before that, and not after opposition. I wrote a little kunfus trying to explain many of the Gemaras in Rosh Hashanah, the Kiddush Levana, and it's available from Kolli Nadav. They can say where to get it. Rashi and Daf Chaf Amid Beis discusses the old moon that's visible at Shkiyas Hachama, after the beginning of the night, after Shkiyah, a way that you could see the old moon. Tosfos over there asks on Rashi the obvious question. The old moon is only seen in the morning, before Shkia. That's because as the moon orbits the earth, the light side always faces the sun. What is seen at the end of the night over here, this is the end of the night with the earth spinning the same direction as the moon travels. So somebody standing at the end of the night will see the old moon before the sun rises. After sunrise, it's too close to the sun. The light of the sun blocks the visibility of the moon. The opposite is true in the beginning of the month. The new moon can only be seen shortly after sunset, because until then, it's together with the sun, too close to the sun all day. Shortly after the sun sets, that thin crescent can be seen in the dark sky. The sky must grow dark enough in order to facilitate a setting of the new moon. So, Tosfos asks on Rashi, how could the new moon, the old moon, be seen at the beginning of the night? The old moon is only seen in the morning. So a possible explanation is offered by Moshe Haskell, based on Rashi's Shita. There's a difference of opinion amongst the Rishonim, how many degrees the moon must have distanced itself from the sun until it's possible to see the new crescent of the moon. Rashi and Tosfos learn it's 6 hours, which is 3 degrees. Once the moon is 3 degrees away from the sun, you can see the moon at sunset. So there's one instance in which you can get that same 3 degree distance from the sun and not yet have a new moon. Now the definition of the new moon is when it crosses the line, the smallest phase of the moon crossing the line between the center of the earth and the center of the sun. Until it crosses that line, it's still old, it's getting smaller. Once it crosses that line, then the new phase is getting bigger. So how can we have it not yet having crossed the line and still have a 3 degree distance from the sun at sunset? We mentioned before the make the horizon of the earth at Yerushalayim has the sun setting at 32 degree angle from perpendicular, 58 from the horizon. So this is a 58 degree angle that the sun sets at. Now this green line here is the line that we'll call the line between the earth and the sun that the moon has to cross in order to start becoming bigger. Before it crosses this line, it's an old moon. After it crosses this line, it starts getting bigger, and it's a new moon. So there's one possibility when the moon has its... Since the moon's orbit is inclined to the earth, it's inclined to the ecliptic, it could be 5 degrees off of the sun's setting. It could be 5 degrees north of here. So in Tekufas Tishrei, the ecliptic is at a very great angle to the setting of the sun. And therefore this line is also at a greater angle that it has to cross. This is the line perpendicular to the ecliptic that the moon must cross. So now the moon must get all the way to here until it crosses the line perpendicular to the ecliptic. That will allow enough time after sunset for the new moon to be seen, according to Rashi, that it only needs a 3 degree elongation from the sun. You can have a 3 degrees over here if it's 5 degrees north of the ecliptic in Tekufas Tishrei. And therefore it will be possible to see the old moon after sunset at the beginning of the night. And shortly after that, it will become a new moon.